Greetings to each of you. This is a little different. Makes me think of in the mega churches, they don't want the pulpit anymore, so they want a more casual setting, and they do things like this, I think. That's not the reason. At 4:30 this morning, I didn't see how I could come at all, but thank you for praying. Have a message today for mothers, and was thinking a lot about the word motherhood, what it means, what it is, and there's a lot of mothers in here. There's a lot of mothers that used to be mothers of small children, and their children are all grown, and there's mothers that are in the thick of motherhood. There's women that would love to be a mother, and there's other future mothers. And I would share Brother Jerry's thoughts on the representation of godliness and virtuous women represented here. I'm humbled and blessed and grateful to be a part of this. As we look at the women in the Bible, I was considering different women in the Bible and thinking about God's heart for what a mother is. What is a mother? Womanhood. And there's a few thoughts I'd like to pull from the book of Ruth. If you would want to turn to Ruth, the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, it's right after Judges. It's Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. You're probably all familiar with this story. Maybe some of you haven't read it for a while. That was the case with me. And I'd like to just pull some thoughts from this part of the Bible on motherhood, womanhood. And before we read it, maybe we could pause for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful today, Lord, for our mothers. We're thankful, God, for the love and the grace that you pour out to a mother, that she pours out on her children. We thank you for the beautiful, nurturing influence this is to families and to churches, to communities. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to understand what you would have us to see in your heart for a godly mother. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in the book of Ruth here, I'm going to read verse 1 through maybe 16 of chapter 1. We won't read more than that. I'm going to just kind of skip through it and give us an overview after verse 16. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Moab was Lot's son, who was born out of his incestuous relation with his daughter, and they ended up a people, a nation. The country of Moab, present day Jordan, east of the Dead Sea, would be where Moab was. He and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites, they were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. In one of the other chapters of Ruth, it tells us that Ruth was married to Mahlon. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and of her husband. So she was left there with her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, who were Moabite ladies. There was my Bible has a reference over to Deuteronomy where God commanded Israel not to mingle with the Moabites. If there's a Moabite comes into your midst, that they shouldn't marry for I don't know, I think it was 8 or 10 generations. So scholars would say that would pertain to the men. And Israelite man could marry a Moabite woman, but a Moabite man could not marry an Israelite woman because the family lines followed the men. So verse 6 says that Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread back in Jerusalem. Wherefore she sent, verse 7, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto the people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have no hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they're grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, nay, daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her grandmother, her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou unto thy Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And this is where Ruth's often quoted words come in verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And that was the heart of Ruth. So, I'd like to consider today the journey of Ruth and Naomi as they journeyed on to Jerusalem. I also would like to say that I feel very blessed today to have both my mother and my wife's mother and the mother of our children in here. I feel very blessed. Happy Mother's Day, and I love you. I love all of you. As we look at this story, this account, as you read in the book of Ruth, they went on over to Jerusalem and they met a man named Boaz. And it was Naomi's heart. For Naomi, her life was just over. But when Ruth decided to go with her, there is a new spark. There's something sparked in Naomi's heart for her lineage to go on. And she sensed a calling of God, I believe, because as they came into the land, she found this man Boaz, who was a relative to her husband. And in Israel, God gave them, there was a law in Deuteronomy 25, you can read, where if a man marries a woman and he dies, his brother is supposed to marry her. And they had multiple wives to carry on their family name. And it was the wife that was told to go initiate that and to ask them to do it. And if they didn't, if they refused to do that, it was a black mark on that man, according to God. You can read it. You can read what happened in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 through 10 or so. You can read what God told him to do that. So this is what Naomi and Ruth... Ruth didn't know anything about this necessarily, I don't think, but Naomi, she was looking at a bigger picture than just her. She went there, a broken woman, but she had a renewed hope here. She had a renewed hope, and we all know the story of how Ruth went into Boaz's field. And Boaz came and asked his servants who this woman is, and they told her her name is Ruth. She is Naomi's daughter-in-law. And Boaz seemed pleased that she was there, and he told them there was also a law in Israel where when they went to glean crops, they were supposed to leave. They weren't supposed to pick the plants clean, the rye and the barley and the wheat. They were supposed to leave some for the poor. And so that's what Ruth was doing in this field. She was gathering grain for their food. And Boaz told his men to leave extra for her. And then he went and told her to... go ahead and make yourself at home here. Don't go to any other farms. Stay here. And when you get thirsty, well, you can drink my servant's water and just be here, and you're safe here. And then Naomi asked Ruth, Boaz was obviously an old man. You can read that in here. He was an old man, and Ruth was young. And so it wasn't really something that would have been on Boaz's mind, I don't think. But Naomi told Ruth to go, go remind Boaz that he is their relative, and it is his duty to marry her. And Boaz said he was kind to her, and he told her that there's another man that's closer relative than I am. I will ask him first, and he did that. But this other man said, "You go ahead and do it because it might it's going to interfere with some other inheritance things that I have because she's a Moabite lady." So Boaz went ahead and he married her. And what I want us to look at here is Naomi could have possibly done that without Ruth, but she probably wouldn't have borne any children. But it could have filled a hole in her heart, because she was a widow and she was alone and she was brokenhearted. When she came to Bethlehem, they said, "Is this Naomi? Are you Naomi? The one that left here, I don't know how many years ago." She says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara." You can read that in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 of Ruth. She says, "Call me Mara." Mara means bitter. She was broken and she was sad. But she was not selfish when she began to see the possibilities here that Ruth would be more apt to have children and pass on the family lineage, and that would be a better thing than for her to get married. So we see here that she was looking at a bigger picture. She was looking at a bigger picture and not just looking at her own desires. And so I'd like to we want to draw some more things out of the book of Ruth here, but at this time I'd like to talk about the bigger picture of motherhood. The motherhood is, it is a gift that God gives, a motherly gift that God gives to every little girl that's born. That's why they like to play with dolls. And that's why they like to play house. Little boys generally are interested in other things. It's a gift, and I'd like to just draw our attention to the many places in the Scripture where the Bible would help us to understand that God has a motherly side to Him. God is, we often talk about fathers, how they are, you know, the figure or the representation of God to our children. He's that fatherly figure. But I'd like to point out all of the ways in which God, in which a woman represents God. And she doesn't have to have children to do that. She doesn't have to be a mother to do that, to represent that part in the kingdom of God, to be that contribution to the kingdom of God. that represents God. And I'd also like to read, if you want to turn, keep your fingers in the book of Ruth, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 8. I'd like to read there about did I say 8? I meant 28. Mark 10:28 is where this discourse with Peter, that Peter had with Jesus, where Jesus was teaching them about giving to the poor, and about the danger of a rich man, and in verse 28:27 says that with God, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Verse 28 says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Mothers, he shall receive 100-fold mothers. There's some of you sitting in here where your mother doesn't welcome you in her house. But I think you've all experienced that God replaces anything you've lost 100-fold, and that includes mothers, lots of mothers. And that would tell me that it's motherly gifts. It's not just from the Apostle Paul exercised motherly gifts. He talks about the Apostle Paul talks about how he fed with milk. He talked about how he was gentle as a nurse. But this verse struck me in that it doesn't matter who you are in here today, there is an opportunity for you to exercise the feminine, gentle, nurturing love and gentleness that only a woman can do. And that might be to your siblings, it might be to your parents, it may be to your husband or to your mother. And it is something that women were given a gift in. And while we tend to look at a mother as someone with children, this says here that a man whose mother rejects him, he'll gain 100 other mothers. So that would tell me that that opens a wide range of possibilities for the average woman in this world. I know the goal for a woman is to get married and to have children. But that gift that is in you, you have the opportunity to exercise that every day and do things that no one else can do. You can cook and clean. You can help others. You can do things that other people, that men can't do. Adam called Eve the mother of all living before she had children. It is a part of God. God has a gentle motherly aspect over him, in him, that Jesus, I think, referred to when, when he talked about Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem." He said, "How often would I have gathered you like a hen does her chicks?" You know, that is a, that would be a feminine, motherly part of God that Jesus was talking about there. And in the same sentence, he called them, they were sinners. They were sinners. So there is a motherly aspect of God that a woman has, that she, and I think of the nurses of this world. I think of the I think of the people in missions fields, the things that women do that men can't do as effectively. And when Jesus hung on the cross in John 19, we're all acquainted there with how he dealt with his mother in John 19, verse 26 and 27. That's not 26 and 27. It might be. It's when he was hanging on the cross. Oh, maybe it is. I'm in Luke. That's the problem. John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother while he was hanging on the cross, and the disciple standing by him whom he loved, that would have been John, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to this disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Where was her husband? He may have been dead. Her other sons didn't really believe on Jesus, maybe. But there was a need here. There was a need that John had that Jesus looked upon him and he apparently believed that his mother could the most could as close as he could while he was on the earth. You know, we read how the intimacy between John and Jesus, the bond of love they had. And Jesus looked at this, I think, and he, I think, said, "This woman can fill that need that I would like to give to you." And when he said "woman," that sounds a little bit disrespectful, but in other translations, it says, "Dear woman, dear woman, dear woman." This, go comfort this man, and this man is able to be that father figure to you that you need. So, when Paul referred to his gentleness amongst the people, you know, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to hear him in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 and 8 says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." What woman? I don't understand the gravity of saying, "I'm willing to trade my soul for yours." But a mother with her child would come as close to that as anything you can think on the earth. A mother would gladly die for her child. I read a story once about a woman that was going over a mountain pass with her baby, and there was a snowstorm, and she huddled over that baby. And the next morning at daylight, men came looking for her, and they found her dead, but her baby was still alive under her, you know. Could we say today that your role in the kingdom of God represents the other half of God, the severity and the goodness of God? A man can be harsh. He can do the hard things. He can do the heavy lifting. He can do things and go places that women aren't suited to do. But could we say that the woman represents the other part of God better than men? That is why Jesus came and pulled women out of their poverty, out of their. He met that woman at the well. Mary were the first ones to see him after he was resurrected. There's something special there that he wanted because women have always been, and they still are in many parts of society, they're just second rate, and they're seen as a second class to a man. And Jesus is clear in his teachings that he wanted to change that. He wanted to pull women up. And in homes today where Christ is not named, it's still that way. It's all around us. It's all around us where a woman suffers greatly in the life of a cruel, heartless man who doesn't know Jesus. And Jesus came to change that. And he also said, Paul also said in 2 Timothy 2:24 through the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And that's a gentle, womanly trait that Paul drew from and learned from in his ministry. And it's a calling. It's a calling in the lives of young women to seek first the kingdom of God, as we heard this morning. Orpha went looking for a husband, and Ruth went looking for God. And we don't know what happened to Orpha, but Ruth had a blessed end. Ruth had a blessed experience with God because she didn't know what was going to happen to her. She just followed God. She learned something about the God of Naomi, and she wanted to follow that. And through her association with Naomi, she learned to know the God of Naomi. Young ladies, the bigger picture of motherhood is, you know, sometimes in some circles, there's a thing where young ladies, they're all giddy and they fantasize about men and about getting married and about boyfriends and this and that and the other. And it's not something that's a game. And you shouldn't do that with your friends because it's not a game. It's very serious. You should be focusing on following, seeking God like Ruth did, and then God took care of her. God took care of her. And the nurture and the love and the care, the sobriety in the womanly, feminine way toward your parents and your siblings and busy mothers is something that only you can do. Your brothers can't do what you can do. Young ladies, you desire to be mothers, and that's a wonderful desire. That's a wonderful desire, but you don't need to wait until you have children to exercise your motherly gift, because you're representing God in that motherly gift. You don't need to be like the girls of the world who laugh and fantasize. They're froward and flirtatious, and they're career-minded, and they go after money. It is the greatest potential that you can reach in your life is to represent the motherhood after God's own heart. And God may have motherhood in mind for you, and He may not. He may have marriage in mind for you, and He may not. Are you will you be satisfied with either one? You will be if you follow God like Ruth followed God. Your greatest potential will be realized when you seek God and you seek after that womanly, motherly ministry in all that you do. In meekness, these are all words that are in the Bible that describe a young lady. Meekness and sobriety and modesty and chastity in discretion and humility and godliness. When you follow God in that way, He will help you to see the bigger picture, because it's easy for us to... It's easy for us to skip the little things because we want the big thing, and we skip the little things. And I don't know if you would turn to Matthew chapter 5 and Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talked about the least of these commandments. The least of these commandments. What are the least of these commandments? Verse 5:17 in Matthew, he said that I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm talking here about attitudes and understandings and goals and about your view of marriage, your view of God, your view of serving, your view of having children. It starts when you're young. Just like, because God wants to deal with us on a heart level, on a desire level. And these least commandments, he goes on to tell us what those least commandments are. In verse 21, he says, you have heard it said, thou shalt not kill. And so many people go around trying to not kill somebody, but they forget. They forget what Jesus said further. He said, but I say unto you, don't be angry. And then he said, don't call somebody Raca. So a man gets angry, and then he calls him a name. Then he says, and don't call him a fool. Now I'm questioning, I'm attacking his character. And all these things lead to murder. And that's why the Bible says that if you hate your brother, well, God sees that you're guilty of murder. And then he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And men promise that every day. They say, we won't. This is for life. And they didn't read the part further that says, he that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. And it's the least of the commandments that lead to the great commandments. And I'd like to say today that the least part of motherhood, we would say having children, getting married, is the great part of motherhood. But the least part of motherhood is those attitudes that make all the difference when the time comes to actually be a mother. And it also should give a mother who isn't actively a mother right now a desire, when we see the whole picture, when we see the whole picture of God, why, it's easier for us to find fulfillment. And that's what Naomi had. Naomi looked beyond what she could see, beyond what looked like it was possible. And Ruth just followed her, and God did amazing things. God did amazing things, and He wants to deal with us in those areas in preparation for motherhood. That's why we should never joke around about boyfriends and girlfriends and about who likes who and all that. That's of the world. It's of the world. And it won't take you where you want to go. And if you're with people that do that, withdraw yourself from that conversation. Because it's so common. It's so rampant. And I don't think it happens here much. It probably does some. I've heard of it a little bit, but not much. But in our former setting, it's very rampant. I remember on our bus, you know, it was a common thing. On a steamy morning where the bus windows were all fogged up, everyone was writing on the windows, so-and-so plus so-and-so, you know. And they would tease people. And it's not a laughing matter. It's like playing with fire. Fire is a beautiful thing. Fire is what makes these lights burn right now. There's a generator working somewhere, and there is combustion, and there is fire. There's an explosion that causes a rotation of a generator. There's fire inside those bulbs. They make beautiful light. We warm ourselves with fire. We cook with fire, but it will burn you up. Has anyone here ever seen someone burn up in a car? Someone alive burn up. Has anyone ever seen that? I haven't. A lot of people have. They come up on a wreck, and someone's burning, screaming, and they're burning up. And they burn to their death. That's what when we make jokes, when we're texting boys and girls, it will hinder you from realizing your full potential of the gift of motherhood that God wants to give you. There are those in here who are desiring to be moms. And I would just remind you, you are full of that motherly gift. Use it for God's glory. Use it for God's glory. Naomi and Ruth, they did. If you go back to Ruth, I'd like to read some verses in chapter 4 of Ruth, verse 14 through 17. God gave Naomi fulfillment because she didn't do it her way. She did it God's way. She did what God wanted her to do. And God brought a beautiful little baby into her life. And verse 14, chapter 4 of Ruth. Here's Naomi's experience by just serving, just walking in God's will, she longed for a husband. She longed for a baby. Her two sons both died and left her no grandchildren. They must have died right after they got married. But she didn't put that ahead of walking with God. Verse 14 says, "And the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord,'" after the birth of that son to Ruth. They said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close kinsman, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher and supporter in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." And that's inspiring to me. God is able to do something in our lives. If my lot in life is to not have children, God's able to do something that's better than seven sons. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. That old broken-hearted lady who'd been through so much, she put that child in her bosom and became his nurse. And her neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son is born to Naomi." They named him Obed. They named him Obed. God gave her fulfillment because she honored him. And God bless you mothers and all the women in here. I would travel the world over and not find a group of ladies that would excel in who you are. I'm convinced. And as I, this morning, I was laying there like an invalid, and my wife was just taking care of everything. You know, she was just taking care of everything. That verse in Colossians that says, "For by him were all things that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together." That's part of God that a woman has. By them are all things, and for them are all things, and they hold everything together. And they take men who are very needy, and they're able to help them. They're able to be a help meet for them. And you moms who are in the actively have children on your lap, I would just like to say, think big today. You're holding future fathers and mothers. You're holding the next generation. Don't let the fingerprints and the endless diapers and the sleepless nights or feelings of failure cause you to lose sight of seeing the big picture. See the next generation. Some of you have a special calling to care for special children. that aren't like the rest of them. Look at the bigger picture. What it could have been if they aren't like they are. Maybe God said this is better. Whatever the case, however you look at it, one thing is for sure, someday the glory that is revealed in them is going to be. I believe, make us all think it was all worth it. It was a small price. I remember a feeling safe and secure as a child. Some of my earliest memories is it was before us older ones moved upstairs to our bedrooms upstairs. They had a couple little beds in the living room around the corner back in a part of the living room. So we slept there, and I must have been, I don't know, 4, 5, 6. I don't know how old I was. But I have a memory of my mom sitting on a rocking chair, rocking a younger sibling, and singing. And it was late at night. And that's something that I remember that was, while she wasn't rocking me at that time, it was comforting. That motherly gift, that motherly part was a blessing for me. And I don't have any, there's so many children grow up in traumatic situations. And I remember feeling safe and loved. I remember our house was old, our windows were old. When I was, 50 years ago, I remember of sleeping in that little bed. And I'd wake up early, and that was before the days of Brother Samuel coming in and putting in heating systems. We had a wood stove, and the stove would go out, and I remember of waking up and seeing my mom and dad standing around the stove, and it was cold. We were covered up, but they had just started the stove, and I remember peeking out under the covers, and I saw them with their arms around each other in front of the stove, getting warm, and I just remember the feeling of that, the security of that. We have an opportunity of making our families, we have the make our children feel secure. And Naomi's faithfulness in her darkest hour resulted in her family's name continuing in the lineage of Christ. Her little daughter-in-law's son, his name was Obed, and I'll just read the rest of Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. And her neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son is born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron of Ram, Ram of Amminadab, Amminadab of Nabshon, Nabshon of Salmon, Salmon of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. And you can read about them in the lineage of Christ in the book of, in the Gospel of Matthew and of Luke. And what a story. What an example. What a lineage. What an opportunity we have as mothers. Let us cherish the mothers in our midst. Mothers, let's help our daughters exercise motherly gifts. That desire is going out in the world. It's going out, and and the family sizes are shrinking, and the women don't want to have that anymore, and they've sacrificed their babies to the gods of this world, and let's exercise that desire in our children. I'd like to close with reading Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Only the spiritual life is given. In Proverbs 31, for the reason of the value that is above rubies. She has much abilities, and their abilities vary from woman to woman. But it's her virtue, it's her view of the big picture that makes her price far above rubies. It's her heart in the home, in the church, in the kingdom, before God. Verse 11 in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. I could comment on these, but I probably won't for sake of time. She riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her husband and eateth not the bread of idleness. That verse 26 about the tongue that is in her tongue is the law of kindness. I've heard it said that the women of the world have soft hands and harsh tongues, but the woman in the kingdom has soft tongue, and her hands are not so smooth. Not like the ladies of the world, because they work. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children, verse 28, arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I just pray for each woman in here, with or without children, Lord, that you would give each one the grace to exercise their gift, their motherly gift, wherever you would call them to be, Lord. For the sake of souls, for their children, for the next generation, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.